How does an attorney avoid failure when confronting the adverse expert? You, as the cross-examiner, you're not a surgeon. You're not an author of the textbook. You may probably not have ever flown a plane. And so you're cross-examining the surgeon. You're cross-examining the chief pilot of an airline. You're cross-examining the author of the textbook used in most medical schools. How do you score points? Realistically, how can you make any dent in the expert's opinions? The answer, of course, is cross-examination. And if you do your job well, if you do your job correctly, then that is the expert's hand hanging in your hand. And you have disembodied the expert's head from the expert's body. And that, of course, can determine, can sway, can in and of itself change the outcome of your jury trial, the fact that you took the expert down, that potentially outcome determinative witness. And if you really do it well, and with a little luck, you can turn the other side's expert into your own expert. You can change the hypothetical facts and the assumptions and get the expert to, with a little luck and perseverance and cross-examination skills, give you opinions that forward your case, that help you get the victory, that aid you in your closing argument when you are able to say their own expert when we vary the assumptions conceded X, Y, and Z. So first, what do you have to do in the cross-examination of the expert? You have to do the same thing that you have to do in all phases of the trial, beginning in voir dire, not as much in voir dire, but in opening statement, closing argument, and in the cross-examination of all the witnesses, most definitely, you must tell a story. The expert witness is a uniquely positioned witness with which to tell the story during cross-examination. Why do I say that? Because, as I've already said, experts can opine on ultimate issues. Furthermore, experts can review all of the testimony in the case. Experts can opine based upon assumptions. You, as the cross-examiner, can vary those assumptions. You can elicit different opinions from credible experts by changing the assumptions. Oftentimes, the expert's been given assumptions. So back to telling a story. You have to tell a story. You've heard this all morning in this course. Tell a story. You can call it a story. You can call it a theme. Story and theme are synonymous. We humans learn through stories. The Bible is a series of stories. The Quran is a series of stories. Stories persuade, motivate. Stories involve good and evil. Stories make us get up off our behinds and return verdicts if we're on a jury, or donate to a cause, financially or otherwise, or vote for particular political candidates. Stories have that power. And so we need to harness that power in the cross-examination of the expert. So tell me, let's play a little word game here for a minute. See if you know what novels these are from. These are the opening sentences of world-famous novels that many of us studied in high school and college. Many of us didn't. That's a commentary on our education system more than anything else. But here's the first one. He was an old man who fished alone in a skiff in the Gulf Stream, and he had gone 84 days now without taking a fish. That tells you a story about the protagonist of this tale. He's old. He's a fighter. He's been out there 84 days, even though he's caught nothing. So you have some respect for the perseverance of this protagonist. You know he's an old man. You know he's experienced. You know he's not a quitter. What protagonist is this? It's the protagonist, of course, from The Old Man and the Sea, Ernest Hemingway. How about this one? When Augustus came out on the porch, the blue pigs were eating a rattlesnake, not a very big one. That tells you a lot about this environment. It's the Wild West, literally and figuratively. It is dog eat dog. In fact, it is pig eat rattlesnake is what it is. This, of course, is from Larry McMurtry's Lonesome Dove. And fans of Larry McMurtry and Lonesome Dove will remember and know that Larry McMurtry died just in the last week or two. Here's another one. It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13. Well, this immediately tells you something is amiss. Why are clocks counting to 13? Something is wrong in this world. Something is very wrong in this scenario. And this opening sentence of this book tells you that. What book is that? Of course, it's the very famous 1984 by George Orwell. That's a story, and it's told in pithy, succinct fashion right from the beginning. You have a sense of where this is going. Here's another one. If you really want to hear about it, the first thing you'll probably want to know is where I was born and what my lousy childhood was like and what my parents were occupied with and all that before they had me and all that David Copperfield kind of crap. But I don't feel like getting into it if you want to know the truth.